way out. Watch my troubles come surround. I was lost, now I'm found. Like a glimmer of hope that will never let me go. You bring peace to my soul. The world can never satisfy. You've opened up my eyes to find. Hey, you give me technical life.
Rest assured in your love, my comfort. But I know I can trust you. Every step that I take, you are with me all the way. Caught in rhythms of grace.
I was afraid to let you know my deepest thoughts, secrets untold. But you know me.
I am so happy to be with you today. We are going to cover the topic, God is with us. And you know, boys and girls, He is always with us. Whether it feels like it, whether we can understand it, whether we think He's doing the right thing, He is always with us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we have together. Help reinforce the fact that you are always watching over us. You never forsake us. You never leave us. And even when things don't go the way we plan, you have a plan. Thank you, Lord, for everything. Amen. Well, today we are going to talk about the three R's. Now, it's funny, when I was a child and in school your age, these were the three R's: reading, writing, arithmetic. Do you notice we don't say arithmetic, which is really math? Those are the three R's. But in this story today, we are going to do the spiritual three R's, which are rebellion, repentance, and restoration. This is the cycle that the Israelites went through time and time and time again when God was leading them. And so we're going to see this pattern in their lives, but we are also going to realize this same pattern is in our life also. We're going to begin in the book of Judges. The book of Judges is the seventh book in the Bible. And after Moses brought the children out of Egypt, and then Joshua and Caleb led the children into the promised land, when all of them had passed away, there was no specific leader for God's people. And you know, every group of people needs a leader. A church needs a leader. A family needs a leader. A school needs a leader. Because although there are workers within that organization, you need one person who can make decisions. And God needed one person for the Israelites that he could talk to, that could help with disputes and arguments, and could kind of keep the people together. So he appointed judges, and that's why Judges comes right after the book of Joshua, because Joshua and Caleb had passed away. So we're in the book of Judges, and the thing that we see, this pattern of the three R's, we hear it right away in Judges 3, verse 12. Now the sons of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. So boys and girls, they would leave trusting God. They would stop worshiping him. They would change the rules that he had for them, and they would start worshiping false gods. And that is something that God cannot abide. He cannot abide us having another God before him. And so he would allow them to become captured. And then we go down a couple of verses and it says, the sons of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, for 18 years. So the punishment is not for a short time. But boys and girls, I have to remind you, God is faithful. He puts up with things. He is patient. He puts up with things. And when God finally says enough, it's all that he can handle. So they cried out to him, verse 15, but when the sons of Israel cried to the Lord raised up a deliverer for them. Ehud is now the judge, and he was a left-handed man. If you ever read about Ehud, it says that he was an unlikely judge, and the reason being, he was left-handed. In Bible days, you were considered that maybe less of a person, or something was wrong with you if you were left-handed. And so I think people were suspicious that he would be a good judge. I'm so glad we don't think that way now, because left-handed people, it means that when God created you, he made the left side of your body dominant over the right side of your body. But they did not understand that. But boys and girls, Ehud was an excellent judge. And he led the people very, very well. He even killed Eglon, who was the head of the Moabites. And then he went on to lead men into battle. And all of the Israelites band together with him under his leadership. And listen what it says in chapter 3, verse 30. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land was undisturbed for 80 years. 80 years! They were able to enjoy God's freedom, God's peace, God's pleasure, God's deliverance, everything. But chapter 4, verse 1, listen. Then the sons of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. Oh my goodness, why? Why? After Ehud died. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazar, and the commander of his army was Sisera. And then in the next verse, it says, the sons of Israel cried to the Lord, for they had 900 chariots and pressed the sons of Israel severely for 20 years. So let's look at this cycle. If you see on the screen now, what they did after Ehud had led them and they had freedom and everything they needed for 80 years, they rebelled again. So on the screen, you'll see a fist. And it's sort of like when you decide you're not going to obey your parents, or you're not going to do something you want to, or you don't like that rule at school, you rebel. And that's what they did. And they rebelled enough that God allowed them to be captured again by another foreign army. And the Bible says it was severe. And so who knows what very bad things happened to them. Maybe slavery, maybe they were beaten. It's unbelievable. God doesn't want it that way. Boys and girls, He doesn't want it that way for us to have troubles when we rebel. But they did. And so then they cry out. And so it said the sons of Israel cried to the Lord, because of course, can you imagine being a soldier on foot and having iron chariots come toward you with the horses in front? It would be terrifying. You would do whatever they said. And so God heard, and that's what happens when they begged Him. That's called repentance. So you'll see on the screen the hands that are saying, God, we're sorry. God, why did we do this again? And then He forgives, and then He restores them. So the way He restored them this time was with a female prophetess whose name was Deborah. So she was the next judge. Before we go on to Deborah, you might ask the question, why does this happen? Well, that is a good question. Why does it happen? After 80 years of living with the Lord, that's maybe why the Bible always tells us, tell these stories to your children and your grandchildren so that they know. Because maybe by the time a young person was 80 years old and they had had children, they forgot to tell the story of how bad it was when Ehud had rescued them before. And so they forget, they're human, they're sinful, and they go back into this cycle. You'll also see on the screen the kind of the little cycle that just keeps running. Rebellion, repentance, restoration. It's just a continual circle when you are sinful, as we all are. And we always need this God who is with us. So we go on now. Deborah is, as I said, a prophetess, and she hears from the Lord. So in chapter 4, verse 6, she realizes that God has said, it is time. I'm going to rescue my people. So she calls for Barak, who was the head of the Israeli military, and she said to him, this is what the God of Israel has told me. Go and march to Mount Tabor and take with you 10,000 men from the sons of Naphtali and from the sons of Zebulun. And those were two of the 12 tribes of Israel. I will draw out to you, this is the Lord saying, He is going to do it. I will draw out to you Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his many troops to the river Kishon, and I will give him into your hand. So as Deborah has heard the word from the Lord, this is already done. I mean, obviously it hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen. And so this is Barak's answer. If you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. Now that maybe seems a strange response from a man who is head and commander of an entire army. But you know what he knew? He knew that Deborah heard from the Lord, and he knew that he needed her strength beside him. Not that she was going to fight necessarily, but she would be there as a presence to keep encouraging him. And then listen to what she says. I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the honor shall not be yours on the journey that you are about to take, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hands of a woman. Now, when we first read that, we don't know what God means by that, but that's the message that He gave to Deborah. And so they continue on. We go on in chapter 4. They fight the battle, and it finally is known that the Israelites are winning. God has given them the upper hand, and Sisera, the commander of the other troops, he can tell that they are losing. And boys and girls, he ran. He ran and left his men. He fled. And this is a little side note. If you are ever around someone who's kind of a tough bully, you realize bullies, that's not anything that ever is okay with God. If you're near a tough bully, I want you to remember you have the strength of the Lord in you. Because bullies, when they get the lower hand, they get scared. And that's what Sisera did. He ran like a little kid, and he came to the tent of Jael. Now, Jael's husband was actually friends with Jabin, who was the king of the Canaan area. And so they were on friendly terms. So Sisera knew her, but she loved God's people. And so he came to the tent, wanted to be hidden. She allowed him to come in. And so he felt like he was safe and secure. And then he asked her in chapter 4, he asked her for a drink of water. The Bible says she opened a bottle of milk and gave him some. And when he lay down, he said to her, "Now, if anyone comes asking for me, you tell them that I'm not here." So indeed, now he's not only a scaredy cat, he's a liar. And so she has him in her tent and she actually kills him. In defense of God's people, she kills Sisera. And so Barak is looking for him everywhere because Barak realizes if the head commander is gone, they are about to go down completely. I am sure that Sisera's men were scattering everywhere. And so Barak comes to the tent of Jael and says, "Have you seen Sisera?" The Bible says that she opens the flap of the tent and there he is dead on the floor. Now we know that Deborah really did hear from God. Going back to verse 9, "I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the honor shall not be yours on the journey that you are about to take, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hands of a woman." And then in chapter 5, we see what's called the Song of Deborah and Barak. "Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the field of Edom, the earth quaked, the heavens also dripped, even the clouds dripped water. The mountains quaked at the presence of the Lord, this Sinai at the presence of the Lord, the God of Israel." And so, boys and girls, that's now, after Deborah and Barak's victory, this is where they're going to be again, restored. And that, those words that she spoke of how great is our God and what he has done, that's also what he does for you and me. So as we go into our respond time today, I already know that every person listening, including myself talking, is in one of these three stages. We always are in this cycle. So either we are in rebellion because we're just doing things our own way right now, and maybe we haven't realized yet that it's not turning out well. And so we're here. If that's where you are today, the whole time the song is playing, I'm going to be praying. Because God knows every one of you. He knows where you are. He knows what you're struggling with. He knows maybe you're just not doing anything wrong. Maybe you're just angry because things aren't working out the way you want. And it's kind of like, God, where are you? But maybe you're here. Maybe you've said, okay, that did not work well for me. God, I've been angry at you for whatever I didn't think you did, but God, I realize you were watching me all along. And so maybe you're here. Like the picture we saw with the hands out praying, God, help me. Maybe you've had kind of some trouble with your parents and you've been angry at them, but you realized you needed to ask forgiveness and hope that things could be restored because the house feels very bad when no one is speaking. Or maybe you're here. Maybe you've just been through the cycle and things are good now and you're praying that this is where you want to stay. And so I'll be praying that over you while the music plays. Now, don't speak to anyone in the room. And I'm praying that everyone who is watching with you will be quiet during this song, because even parents, grandparents, older siblings can realize where they are in this cycle. Let's pray.
Thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days have been held in you. your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. The good.
God, thank you for our time. I pray for each student that was here today, that you spoke to them, that you will continue to speak to them. And Father, that they will remember these cycles and know if they get in the rebellion cycle, they can move quickly to the repentance, saying, I'm sorry, and then be restored. What a wonderful feeling. Boys and girls, I want to close today with Isaiah 41:10, which tells us God is with us. Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And if you would hold out your hands for the blessing, may you know that God is always with you. May you turn to him whenever you feel afraid or sad. Amen. I pray you have a blessed week.